we move into today's message, you'll know that the theme for this year is In His Footsteps. To follow in Jesus' footsteps, to be in that place. But a big part of it is to learn what it is to walk in His footsteps, to live that in your own journey, to live walking in His footsteps, and then to be in that place where you can lead others to follow into that. So today, Gavin, I'm actually not coming through on this one. So you might have to, yep. Today is about fishers of men. We've just heard from our friends trying to be fishers of men in other countries and other places, and God calls us in our own ways. Jesus asks us to come and follow Him and to be fishers of men where He calls us to go fishing. And I want you to think about that, what that means for you in your journey. Let's pray and ask for God's grace to be with us and for Him to speak to each one of us. Lord, as we've had a time of praise, we've had a time of worship, we've had a time when we can stop and to lift our hearts towards You. Pray now, Lord Jesus, that the message that You have for today, the topic, what You want to speak to us about this morning, I pray that we're ready to hear it. It's so easy for us to put up a wall or to say, I can't do that, or that's not me, or that's for somebody else. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to us each individually somehow, that it will mean something to us personally, and it won't feel like an obligation. It'll feel, or we believe, it's an excitement and the next part of the journey for us. So, Lord Jesus, please speak through me and let our hearts be ready for what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think fishing was like at the time of Jesus? Did they have a nice nylon fishing line with nice little titanium hooks? And that sort of thing, maybe boats with engines that could just have lures going behind them, and maybe trawlers with big nets. What do you think? No. I don't even know if they'd have a fishing line. Maybe they worked out some sort of a fishing line with a hook. But generally, the fishing was like this. You know, it was a net, and even that's not real according to Jesus' time, mainly because that looks like nylon or something like that, doesn't it? Their nets would have been a fine sort of a string or a rope sort of thing. And the idea was there would be rocks tied, as you can see, that's lead. Little lead sinkers around it. I'm sure they would have had sort of rocks or something like that, something that was weighted, maybe some metals. And the idea was you just throw it off the boat, and the nets were to just, the rocks would go down fast, and then the nets would sort of make like a parachute balloon. So the rocks would hit the water, the bottom of the water first, and then you would have the net coming around over the top. Do you think this is a really good way to fish? Can be, if there's lots of fish around, right? It's a hard going. And there's a real art to it. When we were in Israel some years ago, they took us out on the Sea of Galilee, and then they had one of those old-style nets, and the gentleman was sort of lifting and showing the weight of it, and then he would throw it and he'd almost go over with it, just throwing it over. I'm leading you into this because I want you to understand that fishing was hard work. It wasn't easy, and it was almost a bit of hit and miss. I don't know if they threw a bit of burley. Do you know what I mean by burley? Like, you know, mixed up breads and maybe thrown it in before, see if the fish would come around and then throw the net. They would have had their techniques, I'm sure. But I'm leading you into this because we find Jesus moving his disciples and moving into that place at the Sea of Galilee and then challenging them directly. So last week, we looked at John chapter 1. And just to recap on last week, this was when John the Baptizer had made that comment to his disciples, Andrew and Cephas or Peter, and said, look, here's the Lamb of God. He makes this comment, here is the Lamb of God. And straight away we find Andrew and Peter and a few of the others of John's disciples turning around, leaving John the Baptist behind, the baptizer, and following Jesus. And as soon as they turn their allegiance, if you want, really it was the spiritual revolution that was taking place, and John's naming of Jesus being the Lamb of God and the claim of the Messiah, we now find them following Jesus. And it says in John 1:43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. So Jesus has been baptized. He's been tempted on the mountain. He's come back. John has said, here's the Lamb of God. And Jesus says, now we're going north. We're moving from this place, leaving for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And then Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, which I said last week, as you know, the house of fish. So Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So this prophecy is coming together. Jesus now has a group of disciples forming around him. Remember, from baptism now his ministry starts. Some of the disciples that have been following John are now following Jesus. And so Jesus says, okay, we're going up to Galilee. Which is interesting why Jesus is choosing Galilee, going up north, because in many ways, as we know, the spiritual platform of Israel was Jerusalem. Jerusalem had the temple. Don't you think that Jesus and the spiritual revolution that was taking place should have taken place in Jerusalem? But we find Jesus going north. And so here we go, maps again. Andrew's happy with a site. So we see Jerusalem there, the baptism site. This is where Andrew and Simon and Philip, Nathaniel, all these are down there seeing this move of God's Spirit through John, now following where Jesus says, and Jesus says, okay, come with me, and we're going to go up north, right up to the Sea of Galilee, and you can see Bethsaida up in that top area. Small village. They say maybe only a village of 100 or maybe 200 at this time. Fishing village. Nothing to say, wow, this is an amazing place to go to. But Jesus is bringing them up there. Why is he doing that? What's taking place? What does he want to show them? What's the challenges there? And you'll find there's prophecy that was for Jesus was going to do, the Messiah was going to do some amazing things up there. So we're going to pick up now at Matthew 4:18. And look what happens with the disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. We often read this and think, oh, this is where he first meets them. But we don't when we read John. We see John and John the Baptist. We see Andrew and Peter and those with Jesus in at the baptism site. But now we see them up here. So I don't know if Jesus is walking around. He sees them in the boat casting nets because they were fishermen. So we see them back in their area, but now with Jesus. And then he said to them in verse 19, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Just to stop for that, just think of that in a moment. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I've reflected on this a few times before, but I want to say that again. The discipleship process or getting others to believe and to lead, to be led and to follow is more about following Jesus and I will make you fishers of men. And in verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Almost sounds too easy, doesn't it? But there's more to this whole story, isn't there? And then we're going to look at that a little bit more. But just in the next verse, it says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Again, sounds too easy, doesn't it? But there's a whole lot of things happening at the same time. So let's go to Luke. Because remember the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are four eyewitnesses of Jesus and the journey. And the eyewitnesses are coming up with what they saw and how it all comes together. And so that's why we have to correlate. That's why I'm looking at John. That's why we look at Matthew. That's why we look at Luke and part of Mark in here as well. And so we need to know the bigger picture and the bigger understanding. So in Luke 5 says, so it was as the multitude, we don't know how many, but obviously a large group of people, pressed about him to hear the word of God. Pressed about who? Jesus. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Hang on. What was the other passage? Galilee. All right. Get this in your heads right now. Gennesaret, Galilee, and Tiberias are the same place. Lake Tiberias, Lake Gennesaret, and Sea of Galilee are the same place. Okay? Put that in your heads. Same place. Same lake. All right. If you learn nothing else today, that's really good for your reading. Okay. And saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So Jesus got into one of the boats. I don't know if he asked him or not, or he just climbed into the boat, which was Simon's. And then he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. So why is Jesus stepping into the boat? Well, they're all pushing on him, aren't they? There's apparently a multitude. He wants to speak to them. Why is there a multitude? Well, he's doing lots of healing at the moment. Lots of people want to be near him. And so getting into the boat meant he could have a little bit of a platform away from the water so he could speak the message, right? And he taught them from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, I'd love to know the emotion involved with this, like, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And dutifully he says, nevertheless, I love that, I've put that underlined, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they started to sink. Remember how I showed you, like, the net was just something thrown off the boat with probably some rocks and some twine, you know? And all of a sudden they have so much fish from these nets. I don't know if you can see that in your mind. The nets were not huge. To throw it and to all of a sudden catch so many fish, like a school of them, and then put them on the boats, and the two boats are starting to sink. I don't know if you understand the volume of fish that was there. And these are good size boat. Don't think a little dinghy. All right, when you go to Magdala, I think it was, yeah, in Israel, there's a museum where they've found, some of you that have been over with us to Israel, there's a museum there where they've found a boat that had sunk in the mud from the time of Jesus. And when they'd found this boat, they were actually able to excavate it back out. They had to pump the timber full of preservative, and you can see the size of the boat. It's in a museum in there. And I'm talking, you know, a good size from that end to that end. It's a good size boat. So don't think tiny little rowboat, all right? Don't think rowboat. Think this is big size boats. So I'm just trying to give you the understanding of these aren't smaller boats. All right. So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart me from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I'm going to come back to that in a little while. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I actually like that. It wasn't just we left it behind and went. They forsook. In other words, they made a conscious decision. We are going to leave family, business, life, everything, and follow Jesus. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Hey, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm just re-emphasizing that. Just, they forsook all. They left. This gives you a much better idea why they just left their boats and followed, right? So here's where I want to go to in this. Following Jesus, when Jesus says, "Come and follow me," has two paths going the same direction. Two paths that are going, the places we will go. I just happen to have the book here. Oh, the places we will go. The places we will go and the struggles we will have. I want to balance the two out as we've just looked in these readings. the places we will go when we follow Jesus and the struggles that we will have as part of that journey. So in the places we will go, in some of the scripture we just read, it says, and Jesus went all through Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease that was among the people. And then his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all the sick who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Can you see what's happening here? This is in Matthew 4. This is early on in the gospel. The disciples that are following left their nets, left their fishing village, left their family, and the places they will go. They're going from town to town. They're going through out Judea. People are coming from all different places, and they're seeing Jesus doing miracles. The miraculous, and it says all who came to him were healed. This is dramatic. Imagine, would you like to follow Jesus and see this taking place? Yeah. Don't you think it would be amazing, like Jesus is leading, going to village, and people that are desperate, people that are agonizing through pain and suffering, people that have all different things taking place, and Jesus is leading you and taking you, and all of a sudden amazing things are happening. This is the amazing places we will go. And it says they came from the Decapolis and Jerusalem, Judea and beyond the Jordan. Like, we're talking people that will walk for 3, 4, 5, 6 a week coming to visit Jesus. Amazing things taking place. But then the struggles we will have. Who thinks the disciples had it easy? It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm following you, Jesus. Look at the amazing things. And now the challenges are coming. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. They've been washing the nets all night. They've been working hard all night. Jesus is around, but no, we're doing all this. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. There's two parts, as I said, there's two pathways to this place of discipleship or following Jesus. There's two pathways. There's one, there's the excitement of following him. There's the excitement of being set free. There's the excitement of finding that your sins are forgiven. There's an excitement. These disciples had an excitement part of it. But I'm going to also say there's the personal battlefield that's taking place in your own life, in your own journey. It's one thing to be a witness. It's another thing to be witnessed to in your own journey. Here's Peter, Simon Peter, who's left, gone, seen John the Baptist, been there as a disciple, come with Jesus now to Galilee, seeing this taking place, and then all of a sudden Jesus performing a miracle, and Peter realizing inside himself, if Jesus can see through the water or organize these fish or do some miracle, he can see into things. If he can see into my own heart. And that's the battlefield right there. We enjoy Jesus, the miracle worker. We enjoy the gospel of good news. We enjoy the places where Jesus will lead us, but we don't enjoy when he goes into our own hearts and challenges us directly. And that's the challenge that we have. To follow Jesus is one thing, to see amazing things is incredible, but to battle within your own journey is where the rubber hits the road and it gets tough. The places we will go, woohoo! The struggles we will have, oh no. The two parts go hand in hand. As part of my ministry, Helen and I, our ministry in different places, we've been to some amazing places. The places we will go have been fascinating and amazing. You know, this is Lake Victoria in Africa and Uganda, and baptizing all these people in the lake, the excitement of doing that. Going to places where white people don't normally go. Yeah, you can see me in the middle there. It's just, can't miss me. Yeah. Going to places where it's exciting to share the good news. This one's got sound. I don't know if it'll come through. I'm particularly wearing the same shirt on this one, but these kids are fascinated. They have to. They just, believe it or not, I don't have much hair on my arms, but they have no hair on their arms at all, and it's so fascinating. And they watch us put sunscreen on, and they think maybe our skin's white because of sunscreen, so they want to scrape it off to see if we're dark underneath, like all these things. So what I want to say in here, the amazing places we will go following the gospel, being fishers of men, and the excitement of doing that, but at the same time ending up in hospital. And I want to bring a reality check to this. The places we go will be exciting. Jesus wants to take us by the hand to amazing places. This is a hospital in Uganda, and as nurse here, and we've been in many hospitals in many countries. Does that stop us? Well, it stops us at times for different things, but we need to recognize the places we'll go and the challenges that we have. I am going to read some of our book here, Dr. Zeus. If you don't know this book, I find it quite amazing. It's quite in-depth when you read it. It says, "Oh, the places you will go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll be top of the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can all get hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself can't be easily done." then you'll end up in the white waiting place. For people who are just waiting for a train to go or a bus to come or a plane to go, or the mail to come or the rain to go, or the phone to ring and the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or sitting on a perch, or waiting for a pair of pants, or a wig or a curl, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all the waiting and saying, you'll find the bright places where the boom bands are playing. I'm not going to read it all. But there's a reality check in here that Jesus offers that place where we can be free, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have the hard places. When Jesus invites his men to be fishers of men, the question is, have you got what it takes to be fishers of men? Are you willing to be in that place where you're willing to give up some of the things that are your waiting places or just waiting for something to happen? Or are you saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to come, I'm going to follow you. And as I follow you, for the exciting moments, let me enjoy them. But when the slump time comes, when the waiting place takes, help me and encourage me as I work through it. Jesus says, follow me, come in my footsteps, come and learn from me as the disciples had to learn from him. Come and live with me, come and live that dynamic life that he has for each one of us, and then be in the place where we can lead others to understand what it's all about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, when you took the disciples, you said, come and follow me. The disciples forsook and left behind the things that were part of their life on an exciting, adventurous journey. They came and they saw and went to amazing places, but they were also challenged personally, deeply. They were challenged about their faith. They were challenged about their health and their journey. They were challenged to follow you. And in that following, they were able to be fishers of men. Lord Jesus, you call us to be disciple makers, fishers of men. Help us to stop the waiting that we have. I'm just waiting for this. I'm just waiting for that. I'm just waiting, waiting, waiting. Take us out of that and help us just to follow you. Leave behind the pressures that we think have to happen, but help us now to follow you, even if there's pain associated or a struggle associated. Allow us to be fishers of men, following you directly. In Jesus' name, amen.